on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm your host, Jason Fitz, and we start the hour, as we always do, with some headlines that you need to know. Starts with some controversy in New York, as Jets safety Jamal Adams continues to speak out against the organization, this time speaking out to the New York Daily News against coach Adam Gase. His quote, "I don't feel like he's the right leader for this organization to reach the promised land. As a leader, what really bothers me is that he doesn't have a relationship with everybody in the building." On Wednesday, Adams attacked owner Woody Johnson on Twitter in response to a CNN report alleging that Johnson made racist and sexist remarks while serving overseas in his role as a U.S. ambassador to the U.K. Why does all of this matter? Well, let's remember that Adams wants a new contract. He's requested a trade. The team doesn't seem to want to give him that new deal or that trade. And he's making it clear that not only is he going to hold out, but he's also going to do whatever he can within the scope of his power to make sure that he goes scorched earth trying to figure out how to end this relationship with the Jets. Next up on the headlines that you need to know, sticking with a little bit of football, but going to the college side of this, there's a proposal out there right now that will benefit Notre Dame. So I can already hear the Golics laughing while everybody continues to yell at them. The ACC is considering various scheduling models for the upcoming fall season, including one that would have Notre Dame eligible to play in the conference championship game, sources told ESPN on Friday. Sources indicate that that was one of various scheduling models under discussion. Changes continue to be made to models and proposed schedule. Any schedule model change needs approval from the ACC Board of Directors, made up of all 15 presidents and chancellors. The preferred scheduling model is expected to be presented to them next Wednesday. Nobody's commenting on it at this point, but there's at least a model out there that will benefit the heck out of Notre Dame, at least in a shortened schedule where only conference games could count, as Notre Dame would still get the opportunity to play for a conference championship should there be a playoff. Huge benefit. Lastly, speaking of should they and where they and how could they, the Blue Jays, it looks like, have finally found a home. The displaced Toronto Blue Jays will play in Buffalo this year amid the pandemic. The team announced it on Friday. Remember, there had been some resistance towards playing at a Triple-A field, but that's exactly what they're going to be doing. They'll be playing at the home of the team's Triple-A affiliate, the Buffalo Bisons. So the Blue Jays were hoping for a Major League park after the Canadian government declined to allow them to play in Toronto, but the state of Pennsylvania nixed a deal in Pittsburgh because of frequent travel throughout the U.S. A source told ESPN's Marley Rivera that Maryland offered to allow the Blue Jays to start at Camden Yards in September, but the team decided it did not want to wait for that. So at this point, the Blue Jays are going to head to Buffalo to play their games. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all of our guests, including you guys, hang out with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. I'm asking you guys to make me a sales pitch. All right, here's the thing. You know that I'm a lifelong Raiders fan. Everybody knows that about me when you listen to me. So I haven't seen a lot of championships. In fact, the last time I watched my beloved Raiders win a Super Bowl, I was too young to remember it, 83. So hasn't been a joyous run. Now, I also grew up a Lakers fan, grew up in Vegas, a fan of all the L.A. teams. But I never got a favorite baseball team. And that's significant because baseball season has come under, has started, obviously. And that means we're all talking about who the favorite is. Now, we thought we could ask you guys to tell us who our favorite is. That seems too simple. Instead, I want you to call in and give me your sales pitch. Why should I jump on the bandwagon for your team? Because your team's going to win it all. Tell me why your team should be the favorite, why your team is the best bandwagon to hang on to, and why your team is going to win the World Series in this shortened 60-game season. I'm all in for this because the shortened season, to me, opens a ton of opportunity for a non-traditional champion here. We could see it go anyway, but there are a ton of stacked rosters. So, given the fact that I need to have somebody I can root for and I want to be able to trash talk all the guys that work on the show, I need you to give me your best sales pitch, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you can chime in, tell me who to root for. Already had a few tweets telling me the Dodgers, which, admittedly, again, given the fact that I was a Vegas kid and rooted for all L.A. teams growing up, would make sense. But, man, that doesn't seem like that's a life of luxury. I mean, I'm not sure that I want to root for a team that's only going to get me close. Like, if I'm going to hop on a bandwagon, they either got to have great gear so that I feel good wearing the stuff no matter what. I mean, a team sends me free gear, I'd be on for that too. But they either got to have great gear or they got to be able to win a World Series. So that's how you chime in. Now we'll get to some Straight Talk. Straight Talk runs on the same networks, up to 50% less. You can get the unlimited plan, up to 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. It's only $45 a month. No contracts. Straight Talk Wireless, no contracts, no compromise. There was no compromise made yesterday in the beginning of the Major League Baseball season, because we saw players making their statement throughout the course of the league. We saw the league making a statement. We saw BLM on baseball mounds. We saw players from the Yankees and Nationals, Dodgers and Giants all taking a knee before, during, or after the anthem. And in fact, with that being said, Mookie Betts, the Dodgers star, chimed in about players taking a knee before the game.
It just shows unity. I think everybody's on board with what's going on in the world. We have to make some change, and you know, it starts here, and we have to do our part. And you know, it's amazing to know that everybody here is on board with something. And like I said, we have to find a way to make change, and this is the first step.
Unity is something that really stood out when you watch these teams coming together and making these sorts of statements. Now, what that means for every person that receives it is different. But to me, possibly the most powerful statement we got actually came from Twitter. I find it crazy to me, and incredible, I should say, is a better word, that the Tampa Bay Rays official Twitter account tweeted the following: "Today is opening day, which means it's a great day to arrest the killers of Breonna Taylor." They use their opening day platform to make a social justice statement. So the question is, what does it say that an MLB team's official Twitter page is willing to take up the cause of justice for Breonna Taylor? That's something that Jalen Rose, David Jacoby, and Doug Glanville broke down today on First Take.
Well, this is a big step. You know, teams, I mean, you think back to the Red Sox statement acknowledging racism, saying it's real. I mean, that is a step that you cannot underestimate, because in the Black experience, you're constantly litigating and relitigating your experience. Oh, this didn't happen. It's not what you think it was. You're always in these conversations to reconsider whether you're misinterpreting the double meaning of your experience. And now when you have institutions, frontline, front and center organizations in sports coming out and saying, no, 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 we're taking these on. We're taking steps. We have your back. That is a huge shift. And more as teams coalesce around it, we're seeing the power of the corporate world. When you think about the Washington Redskins, you pull funding, the economic empowerment, all of a sudden now there's a new focal point. So this is definitely a change and a first step, because you have to acknowledge it first. And that is something that doesn't always happen. It's like, well, no, it's not this. Now we're saying, now we're moving to that stage where we're now looking at it in the detailed ways it really exists in our society.
This is a major shift in sports and corporate America. This is a major thing in sports, because you now see a four-year progression of Colin Kaepernick when he decided to take a peaceful protest at his job and was basically ostracized and whiteballed from the league, to the point where he still does not have a job. And the president of the United States called those players SOBs who decided to take such a stance. And now all of a sudden, 4 years later, we have the NFL apologizing, and you have Major League Baseball players last night and coaches each taking a knee. Mm-hmm. That is very powerful in our country. 4 years ago, when we started Get Up, we were talking about this very same topic. And people in mass media were just saying, well, that show is just being woke, or stick to sports, or shut up and dribble. Or now you try to use certain terms like Black Lives Matter is a mob. No, just trying to get equality, okay? And I applaud the Rays for taking this stand and using their professional platform. I get that people are in business to make money. And 4 years ago, it was like, we don't want to alienate a certain fan base, because they would be loud. And a lot of times the squeaky wheel does get the oil. And you don't want to alienate any parts of your fan base. And then you realize over these 4 years that that fan base outwardly has started to dwindle for righteousness. So I appreciate this tweet, and it's going to start a domino for all of the people who tried to act like they don't want their sports interrupted with politics, as we now realize that they're basically intertwined.
I think this is a very big deal, and I think that we've all wondered before sports came back, what exactly would it look like? How would the fight against social injustice manifest itself on the field, in sports, in Orlando, in the bubble, and with MLB? And what we saw last night were really good examples of that. the words that you already played from LeBron James, using that platform, using the press conference to speak about social injustice, and the playing of the voice of Morgan Freeman, but the words of Andrew McCutchen and his wife before the game was really powerful. I wish Fauci threw a better first pitch. I think that would have made the night a little bit better. However,
he socially distanced his pitch.
He did. He did. And then we had this tweet about Breonna Taylor. And I think that one thing that's important, there's been so much attention on the Breonna Taylor incident. I want to talk a little bit about the details. The police had a no-knock warrant when they went to her home. And the person that they were looking for, the individual, is already in police custody in a different part of town. Then they were wearing plain clothes. They broke down the door in a gunfight that resulted in her death occurred. And I think that getting justice for Breonna Taylor is extremely important. But also important is looking at some of the policies, looking at the no-knock warrants, looking at the use of chokeholds, looking at the training that police receive to create change over time. It's kind of like what LeBron was discussing versus movement versus lifetime. If the police officers are arrested and charged with the death of Breonna Taylor, I don't think this ends. That's the end of a movement. But I think a lifelong commitment with policy changing and review some of the ways that policing occurs in this nation is the lifestyle that LeBron is talking about.
Mm-hmm. But also, Jacoby, he's also talking about decades and decades of us having this conversation. And Doug alluded to it earlier. It creates a level of frustration when you hope that change is happening. Like, so I remember being a youngster and understanding what happened with Emmett Till and what happened with Fred Hampton. I want people out there to Google what happened in the middle of the night with Fred Hampton. You just reminded me of it when you said the Breonna Taylor story. I have too many of these names in my head, unfortunately. I remember the Rodney King situation. I thought change was going to happen. Trayvon Martin was pursued by a vigilante officer. I thought change was going to happen. Eric Garner said, "I can't breathe." I thought change was going to happen. Look at what happened with Ahmaud Arbery. I know too many of these names. When George Floyd said he can't breathe and the cop had his knee on his neck for almost 9 minutes, that's how the black man felt about society. So, yes, LeBron does feel like it's not a movement because it don't stop. That's basically what he's describing. And thank you to the Rays and to so many people that have graduated over these past 4 years. Hopefully we can continue to have this level of growth as a society.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. With all this conversation going on around baseball, I want to bring in an expert that can help us. Now, again, I'm asking you guys to give me your best sales pitch on why your MLB team will win it all so that I can jump on the right bandwagon. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'll get some of the thoughts on that now from our next guest on the show, Benzo Performance. Like Gary Streisky, my buddy, joins us now. He's the host of SportsCenter Snapchat. For any of you guys that haven't watched him there, you may recognize him too. He used to work with the Red Sox as the sideline reporter there, Gary. So I love bringing you on to talk baseball, my friend, because I need your expertise. So for you being around the sport for so long and having been around the Red Sox organization particularly, I mean, they went to Twitter as well to tweet out Black Lives Matter. How surprised are you to see official Twitter accounts at this point of Major League Baseball teams echoing social sentiment?
Chris, first and foremost, when you said you wanted an expert, I thought you had the wrong guy. You called me, but I digress. I appreciate you having me on. I love to rap a little bit about baseball. Yeah, first and foremost, I'm glad that the season has started, and I'm really not surprised that the Red Sox, among other teams, and really as an initiative from Major League Baseball, are starting to adapt and be more open to the movement of social justice. You saw the Black Lives Matter banner that actually faces the Mass Pike at the back end of the Big Monster in Boston. And that doesn't surprise me at all. I think a little bit of it could be based off of the heels of Boston's image, the stereotype of what people have said Boston is and what it represents and what black athletes have experienced at that time. So I think, and I'm pretty sure the president of the Red Sox, Sam Kennedy, said, you know, we can't be silent in this moment because silence is essentially ignoring the fact that there is a problem. So I'm not surprised that the Red Sox did that. I was kind of surprised at the comment section when the Red Sox did, in fact, tweet that out, because if you want to oppose a stereotype, you shouldn't validate that, and you shouldn't be forward-facing with that for some of those Red Sox fans who hopped in those comments as if nobody was going to see them. So that did kind of hurt me a little bit to see that you know, a lot of those comments kind of fed right into that national kind of stereotype of what Boston sports fans and that vitriol that sometimes they bring actually is.
We're talking to Gary Strysky, host of SportsCenter on Snapchat and Baseball Tonight. You guys did a great digital show for that leading up last night. And, you know, Gary, I'm a little curious for perspective here, because when you look at the NBA and the way they've handled social issues, we have an understanding of it. When you look at the NFL and the way they've handled social issues or starting to handle social issues, we're hearing a lot of blowback from fans. So where does a Major League Baseball fan in your experience sort of sit between those two sports and how they feel about these things being a part of the conversation while they're watching their favorite sport?
I think that there's a pretty distinct sort of line kind of in the sand with baseball. You know, you hear a lot of it's old, it's the old guard, it's antiquated, and I think a lot of that stuff is appropriate. And if you take that sort of scope of things and then apply that to baseball's maybe overwhelming fan base, I think that those aren't too different. I mean, I think with NFL, with NBA, those are a little bit younger, a little bit more social driven. So it doesn't surprise me that baseball is sort of the last to catch up in that regard. And obviously, you know, if you stay on the pulse of social media with these players, thankfully, a lot of these players are able to voice their opinions on their various accounts. And I think they're just starting to normalize it, right? I mean, like I said, I know that there's an old guard in baseball who they just want to talk baseball. They want to talk pitch count. They want to talk sabermetrics. But, like, players are getting younger. Fans, baseball is hoping, get younger. So as these social conscience players start becoming superstars and start blossoming into their own, I mean, you're going to just hear the conversation more and more and more. And I think we saw that a perfect example with Mookie Betts taking a knee during the national anthem last night in his first game with the LA Dodgers, which, if you would have asked me, you know, to place a bet whether or not he would, I actually would have said that he wouldn't, just with my experience being around Mookie Betts his first 4 or 5 seasons in the league. I was a sideline reporter for the Red Sox from 14 to 17, and that was essentially Mookie's rookie season was 2014, and he's always been close to the chest. He's never made any sort of social splashes or been outwardly vocal about a particular stance of his, a political stance, anything like that, and I think that's quite deliberate, and that's why I say I would not have expected that. And a little bit of background too, you know, his family, his father is a veteran of the military, so I just took a couple of those factors and said, you know, I bet you he won't, especially, let's say, if he was still in a Red Sox uniform. But it didn't surprise me. It didn't surprise me that he did, you know, being a member of the Dodgers. Now, I can see blowback if he was with the Red Sox and did that. I wouldn't be surprised to read the comment section and, you know, kind of have my hand over one of my eyes, be like, oh, God, please, guys, don't subscribe to the stereotype. So, yeah, that was a powerful moment.
We're talking to Gary Strysky, host of SportsCenter on Snapchat, also one of the hosts for Baseball Tonight on the live streaming. You can check that out on the ESPN app and on Twitter, obviously. So we got a shortened season. Gary, make me an expert here. Like, in your mind, if you're looking at a team that's maybe under the radar in a shortened season, I'm trying to figure out what bandwagon to jump on. So I'll ask you about favorites in a second. But is there like an under-the-radar team that you look at and you say, hey, we aren't talking enough about?
I'm telling you right now, if you're trying to jump on a bandwagon, stay away from the Red Sox. As much as that pains me to say, this isn't necessarily like a dark horse pick for me. Everybody's sexy pick is going to be the Dodgers coming out of the National League and the Yankees coming out of the American League. And I wish I could be like a sexy contrarian and say, no, 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 those guys are wrong and here's why. But if I'm giving you one team who I think has the best shot at contending for the pennant at the end of the season in the National League, don't sleep on the back-to-back NL East champion Atlanta Braves. I think that they needed just one more season of, like, expedited maturation centered around Ronald Acuna Jr., and I think that's what they got. I think he has the best shot, aside from Mookie Betts, of winning the National League MVP. I love what Atlanta's doing. They have a nice starting group of pitchers, except I just read that both of their catchers now are showing symptoms of COVID-19. So both of them have to go into that sort of incubation period, but they called up a couple catchers. At any rate, don't sleep on the Atlanta Braves, and I wouldn't be shocked to see them come out of the National League. I love what they're doing down in Atlanta. Young team, good pop. They're young. Ozzie Albies, Ronald Acuna Jr., Freddie Freeman, and that starting rotation, I think they're going to be a problem.
Follow him on Twitter, at Gary Strieske. Check him out every day in the SportsCenter on Snapchat app. You can check out Snapchat there, and you can watch him on SportsCenter hosting, doing a magnificent job. And, of course, keep your eyes peeled on Twitter for the Baseball Tonight live streaming show that he's a part of. Gary, man, I love you coming on, man. I appreciate you joining us. Thanks so much for the time. Hope you're safe, my friend.
Thanks so much, man. Talk soon.
Gary Strieske, also a great guy and super handy. Like, I had a bug problem. I text Gary. I'm like, hey, how do I work bug bombs? Like, he's that sort of guy. He can do everything. Plus, he has the best hair at ESPN. All right, coming up, I want your take. You just heard a little bit of a sales pitch from him on why I might think about the Braves bandwagon. I'm trying to find a bandwagon I can jump on that's going to get me to a championship. So give me your best sales pitch on why your team's going to win it all and why I should jump on that bandwagon with you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's have a little baseball fun. We're going to get more of your take coming up next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Having a little fun today. Major League Baseball season is underway. It got underway last night, and I was watching it. And, you know, we came into the production meeting today talking about the show and figured, hey, you know, there's so many stacked lineups in Major League Baseball this year. It's a 60-game season. There's an opportunity for so many different teams to win. Why don't we have people call in and tell us who they think their favorite should be this year in Major League Baseball? And then I realized that, no, I want to have more fun than that. I want to find the team that I should jump on the bandwagon for. Now, you realize, if you've listened to me at all, that I didn't grow up a baseball fan, so I don't have a favorite team. I don't have this memory of my dad and I sitting in a park. You know, there isn't some moment that really pulls me to the sport from a memory standpoint. So I'm really free to take on whatever team I think has the best opportunity. And really, it has to be partially about that, right? Like, I mean, if I'm going to pick a team going into the season, I feel like I should take the team that suddenly gives us the best opportunity to win a championship. So we're going to let you guys, throughout the course of the show, give me your sales pitch. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Why should I root for your favorite team coming into the season? Now, we know that, obviously, my blood is silver and black, and when it comes to the NFL season, there's no doubt about it. So I want to get a little NFL expertise as we come into the season. We get closer and closer. We'll head over to the Shell Penzoil Performance Line, where we're joined by ESPN NFL front office insider Lewis Riddick. Lewis, thanks for the time. I hope you and yours are safe. Obviously, that's the most important thing right now. But we're looking at the sports landscape, and I see Juan Soto yesterday for the Nationals fail a COVID-19 test hours before a game, and I'm left to wonder what processes there's going to be there. I mean, as a former front office employee for the NFL, how are teams going to be able to handle it when they have to have COVID-19 testing possibly day of a game?
Yeah, that's a great question, isn't it, Jason? I mean, how are they going to wind up, you know, working their way through that process after someone does test positive? As far as now, how does his positive test affect anyone else on the football team or anyone else in the football or baseball or basketball operation? How does it, you know, what is the trickle down effect, and how does it compromise the rest of the squad? See, these are the kind of things that make this entire thing, this entire process very, very challenging, because safety has to be first and foremost, without a doubt. But at the same time, I mean, in order to really go down this road in the first place in terms of trying to play sports at the professional level or college level for that matter, in order to go down this road, you have to have in the back of your mind that one positive test could totally compromise your ability to field a football team. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of protocols that they actually have in place once you get down to the very specifics as far as, you know, who are the people that were – that came into contact with an individual who tests positive, what kind of quarantine measures do they then have to adhere to, and how does it affect your ability to carry on with the season? And I think this is the kind of thing that players, you know, want to know about. They want to know how this all would affect them, both in terms of their availability, their pay, what kind of injury list do they get put on? Do they get paid when they're on this injury list? I mean, all those things are the kind of things that, you know, obviously the NFL is trying to iron out right now, and it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out once we get to September and start playing football in particular.
We're talking to ESPN NFL front office insider Lewis Riddick, and, you know, I was talking to Feinbaum a few weeks ago, and he mentioned the college football conspiracy theory that's already out there, that teams will simply bury tests of important players. I mean, how confident should fans be that if your favorite team's starting quarterback fails a test, God forbid, I mean, how confident should we be that that information would even make it to the public?
You know, It's interesting, right? I mean, you want to protect, obviously, the privacy of these individuals as much as possible. That's not something that I'm sure, you know, as an individual that anyone would want out there for public consumption, obviously, okay? But at the same time, you know, you do want to make sure that everything is being done honestly and with integrity and with, again, the participants' health and safety at the forefront and being what is priority number one, not the benefit of the team or how his, you know, absence from the team would affect the team, that being whoever a prominent player would be that tested positive. Yeah, that's something that's crossed my mind. It's something that I'm sure obviously is crossing other people's minds. Like, look, you can't, I mean, you have a big game coming up. It's a rivalry game, whether it be college or pro, and, you know, you have someone who tests positive, you know, our team's going to follow the letter of the law and the letter of the rule and say, hey, look, you tested positive. We have to sit you down. We have to look out for your well-being and the well-being of everyone else. Is everyone going to do it honestly? And, you know, there's going to be some people who question that. And you can't have that, obviously. You can't have that be something that lingers out there. You have to stamp that out very, very quickly that, look, this is, you know, health and priority health and safety are priority number one, because this isn't just a sports issue. This isn't just a sports integrity issue. I mean, this is a health and safety issue globally. So you can't mess around with that kind of thing. And this is why some people obviously feel as though you shouldn't even be playing sports, period, at this point in time, because these are kind of things that shouldn't even be a discussion at this point, whether or not you would hide a test. I mean, think about the ramifications of that kind of thing if that were something that you were ever able to prove, if in fact that did happen. Just think what the ramifications of that would be and how dangerous that would be and just how just nefarious and how just unconscionable that kind of decision-making would be. I mean, that's something you hope you don't ever have to confront.
We're talking to ESPN NFL front office insider Lewis Riddick. And Lewis, I think your perspective is really interesting. Having been a former player and having been in front offices, you've seen the very public call from the players for what they're looking for. You've sort of heard the reports of what both sides offering. In your mind, which side is on the right so far from what you've read? Is it the players or is it the owners?
Well, I mean, they're trying to work out the financial ramifications of what, you know, trying to carry out a season in this kind of environment, you know, would entail. They're trying to figure out, you know, who's going to really, you know, carry the burden of most of the risk. Are we going to share it equally? Are we going to take it all at one time? Is it going to be something that's going to be spread out over the remaining life of the CBA when we're talking about football in particular? When it comes to health and safety, I would say, obviously, you understand why the players have been upset with the lack of progress up to this point, or, you know, prior to this point, on the part of the league to make sure that the procedures and protocols were in place. You can understand why they were upset about that. You can understand why, you know, doing it at the 11th hour would be something that wouldn't kind of make you feel very comfortable or very secure in the fact that the league is looking out for your best interest. You can understand that. But I can say this, that on the part of the individual member clubs, I know people who are in charge of training staffs and medical staffs, and I can tell you this, they are busting their you-know-what around the clock to try and make sure that the players, and not just the players, but the coaching staffs and support staffs and their families are all going to be protected as well, because, again, this extends far beyond the players, although they are the main focal point. This touches on every single part of the football operation, and there are people, quite honestly, that aren't players that are at much greater risk than even the players are themselves as far as what could potentially happen to them if they were to contract this virus. So I see it on both sides. I understand why the players would be ticked. I understand why the league is right now trying to tackle something that, look, at the highest levels of our society, people haven't attacked it worth a darn either. So I understand that it almost sometimes seems impossible to carry out this kind of thing successfully. But obviously now they're putting in the work. They're trying to get it done. They're trying to do basically the impossible, which is to play football, the ultimate contact team sport, in an environment right now that is not conducive to basically doing anything other than sitting in your house and social distancing and staying away from people. They're trying to get that done. So think about it. But just prepare yourself, though, I think, as consumers, as fans, prepare yourself for the inevitable big-name player getting sick, because it's just going to happen. I mean, these trainers and doctors are trying to fight something that they can't even see. They don't even know where it is.
It's everywhere. It's around all of us. So you know the odds are someone is going to get sick. Someone's going to fall ill. And you just have to prepare yourself for it and not freak out about it, especially if you're one of those people who at the same time is saying, well, we need our sports. Society needs an outlet. Society needs to be able to have a release, because these players are these players are taking on tremendous, tremendous amount of risk. The coaches, the dogs, I mean, they're taking on so much risk. I can't even imagine having to make the decisions that these guys are making at this point.
The NFL, by the way, has called a meeting for 1:30 p.m. Eastern, so it's going on now with owners, GMs, presidents, head coaches to update everyone on the state of its discussions with the NFLPA. As we get reports from that, we'll keep everybody updated. Do you want to get one question specifically about a player in here, Lewis? As Jamal Adams has gone scorched earth at this point with the New York Daily News talking about Adam Gase, he's gone to Twitter to talk about Woody Johnson. In your mind, how do the Jets and Jamal Adams come to some sort of an agreement?
I don't know, Jason, if they can at this point in time. I mean, it's possible, but it would take a lot of, you know, it would take a lot of maturity. It would take a lot of, goodwill. It would take a lot of just humility for both sides to really, at this point, sit down and say, hey, look, I understand where you're coming from. Hey, I understand where you're coming from. Let's back this thing all the way up to January, which is really where this all started, and see if we can kind of mend some fences here and get this going on the right track. Because really what this has come down to is trust is what it is. Jamal feels as though, you know, says that they told him that they were going to redo his contract, that being Joe Douglas and the management team. They reneged on that. They kept pushing it out. Then they started questioning his loyalty to the team, started questioning whether or not he was all in for the Jets. That ticked Jamal off even more. Jamal has certain issues with the coaching staff, the head coach in particular, and his leadership style or his lack of leadership overall. Then, you know, he hears some disparaging remark being made by Joe Douglas as far as how difficult it'll be to trade him if he, you know, considering how he's been acting on social media and all, and that ticks Jamal off even more. Because this is a kid who, when he came out of LSU, had pristine character. No one ever questioned his character or his commitment to his teammates. So he takes that personal. So when you're talking about, you know, type A high-end individuals like this who take things very personally, that being coaches, GMs, and players, usually that doesn't end very well. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them move him and try and get, you know, what they see as being fair market value in this kind of environment. I also wouldn't be surprised if they kind of come to some kind of agreement and say, look, we're going to have to get through this season, and Jamal, you know, plays for his teammates as he's always done. It's a crappy situation. I really do. I kind of fall on the side of the player in this one, only because I know how important it is for management and ownership, you know, regardless of whatever sports league you're talking about, how important it is for them to maintain relationships with their players and make sure that the communication is sound and it's fundamental and it's always open and honest. And it doesn't sound like to me that they were open and honest and sound and fundamental with Jamal. And that's a surefire way to tick off players. I'm just telling you, as a former player, it would tick me off, and I can't say I wouldn't be doing the same thing that he is if I were in his position.
That's one of the things I love about Lewis, is that he gives you the perspective from both sides. Follow him on Twitter at @LRiddickESPN. Lewis, as always, my friend, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you giving us your expertise. Thanks so much. Stay safe.
You got it. Do the same. I'll see you.
First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. All right, it's First Take, Your Take, because we want you to give your take. We're going to do that next. You guys are taking over the show. We'll take your calls. Give us your best sales pitch to me on why your MLB team will win it all this year. We'll do that next. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. You guys can hang out with us, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The lines are stacked, but you can still try and get in on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. I want your best sales pitch on why your MLB team will win it all. I'm looking for a bandwagon. I can't be more transparent. I'm looking for a bandwagon to jump on here. I want one that's going to get me a championship. Don't forget, tune in for an NL East rivalry this Sunday. The Mets host the Braves, presented by Geico. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. So give me your sales pitch. I love this. I cannot wait to hear you guys pitch me on what you got. Zach in Ohio, what's your sales pitch on your team?
Jason, how you doing?
Great, man. Thanks for calling. What's your pitch?
So I'm going pitching for the Reds, and I know that they're, you know, it's been a building year, but this is my reasons why. they're playing all Central teams. Their league, the National League Central, was pretty weak as far as going out and doing any additions this year. You still got the Cubs, Cardinals, and the Brewers. I know that there still could be an issue there. But the one plus is that they're only playing American League Central teams. Decent, but, you know, not as strong as some of the other American League divisions. The pitching staff, is, from what I've read, is number three in the entire league. The additions that they've made in the offseason, and with the addition of the DH, I feel like it's going to be very beneficial, especially for the multiple bats that they have in the lineup that they can switch in back and forth.
Well, look, there's a few things that I like about your pitch. One is that it's a little bit of an off-the-radar team. I respect that, too. I love Kings Island. I used to have season tickets to Kings Island. I absolutely love that place. I love Cincinnati. Grater's ice cream is an obsession for me. There's a lot of things I like about that. But I'll also admit that I'm going to be working starting August 17th again with Sarah Spain. Sarah is a noted and very famous Cubs fan. I'm not sure I want that level of argument. I'm a little scared. The coach in North Carolina, coach, give me your pitch for your team.
All right. Good day to you, Jason.
Thanks, man.
All right. So here's the plan. We have a short season this year. With 30 games left, the San Francisco Giants are going to make a major announcement that they're bringing Barry Bonds back. At 58 years old, he can still mash better than anybody. He'll have 15 splash hits, get him through the postseason, and become the World Series MVP.
Wow. Okay, that's a daring prediction. And I should note, the Giants have had a lot of success, right? Like, I mean, if I'm going to hop on a bandwagon, the Giants, not a bad bandwagon to hop on. Like, see, this is a little bit of the divide. Like, I can't ride the hot. I mean, the Nationals won it last year. What are the chances they're going to repeat? So they're out. The Dodgers always get close and never actually win. If I'm hopping on a bandwagon, I want to be able to win championship stuff. Like, I want to be able to go buy the big Sports Illustrated pack of all the championship stuff after they win the World Series. It's important. You guys have stacked it. There's so many different teams. I don't want to cut anybody off. So we're going to let you keep on chiming in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Give me your best sales pitch on why I should hop on your bandwagon. Plus, what impact are sports stars having on the actual push for social justice? You'll hear what they thought on First Take next. First Take, your take. ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
Today, pros have to do whatever it takes. The Home Depot is here to make that easier. We've got the products you know and trust on our app. Delivery options to get what you need exactly where you need it, and a delivery tracker that keeps you up to date on the status of your order so you can keep doing what you do best, whatever it takes to get the job done. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
It's time for some straight talk. You know what covering your bases is in baseball, right?
Of course, making sure you have no holes in your defense.
Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless, and you'll pay up to 50% less than big carriers and still use their same networks. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G.
And no contract, no mystery fees. Fully covering your bases for 50% less. Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Check out terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.